flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Swinging a high drive into center field. Hits at the wall. It is gone! Cassis does it again.
Again.
It's gone! It's into the bullpen! This game is tied! This game is tied!
And he swings and rips one to center field. It's high, it's deep, it's back, it's gone! Sale winds, he fires. Swing and a miss, Frank Lee, it's over! The Red Sox have won the World Championship!
Welcome back to Play Tessie. It is episode 170. This is the official Red Sox podcast of WEI. You, the listener, doesn't know this, but this is my third try at this intro. I'm usually spot on. We never do more than one take. Never. Like this is, but 0-for-2 today. I hope I'm doing okay this time. Subscribe. All right.
1-for-3. 1-for-3 is good. That's a good day at the ball yard.
Yeah, it's a baseball podcast. So 1-for-3, we're doing fine. But yeah, you, if you want to bat 1,000, just subscribe to Play Tessie on all your favorite podcast platforms. Rate it 5 stars. Leave a comment. Tell us how we're doing. Go to YouTube, subscribe to WEI, and find the Play Tessie playlist there where you can hit the thumbs up on all of our videos, which we really appreciate when you guys do that. And as always, find us on the socials at Play Tessie on both Twitter and Instagram. So, man, we're really at that lull in the offseason where not that much is happening. And Sammy even tweeted today about how boring this offseason has been. And I mean, by God, every January, I swear, like as soon as you hit the NFL playoffs, it's just brutal. But at least, I don't know, it's like the badness of the offseason gives you at least a little bit to think about, because like I know we complain about there being so many unsigned free agents. But if they were all signed, I don't even like what would we even if all of the free agents were signed, what would we even talk about? Actually,
it's a good point. I mean, I think it would be better if more free agents were signed, but not all of them, because then we could start doing like team outlook stuff.
Yeah.
Like right now, we have no clue how good the lineup's going to be. That one right-handed bat that we've spoken about on every single episode for the last 17 years, it feels like that changes a lot. So we really can't even do outlook stuff. But, you know, on the other hand, we can still talk about Alex Bregman, Tanner Scott, all these Flaherty, Kenley, these free agents who, you know, the rumors are still out there. But even now, the rumors, like when was the last time we heard a solid rumor aside from the one that we're going to discuss shortly?
Yeah, you know, Sammy, it's a good point on your part, especially with the situation that the Sox are in right now, where it's like, they're a right-handed bat away, like a good right-handed bat, and Alex Bregman kind of right-handed bat away from being that, like, oh my God, they're one piece away from, like, I don't want to say put them over the top, because I don't know if there's any amount of moves that the Red Sox could make where I would say they're put over the top. Like, you have to prove that you're a winning team before you can talk about being put over the top. But if they had Bregman, then we could be looking at, like, okay, these are the finishing touch pieces to the roster. Right now, like, we're just trying to see this team build an offense.
We don't know on the Grichuk Bregman spectrum where they're going to land for that right-handed bat.
We're going to be talking about that spectrum for years to come. Like, the Grichuk Bregman spectrum all season, man.
Oh God,
Pat, how are you feeling today, Pat, on the Grichuk? Not even talking about Grichuk or Bregman. Just talking you, Pat. How are you feeling today on your birthday on the Grichuk to Bregman scale? Happy birthday, Dr. P.
Thank you. Thank you. Today was not a Randall Grichuk birthday.
Let's go. That's a good thing.
It was more toward the Bregman side of things. Work right. Did nothing, and it was kind of nice. But, I don't know. We really don't know what the offense is going to look like. I think it should be pretty unanimous. This is a better team than last year already. If they are done, this is a better team. Downside. Better team? Yes. Bad news, they had three division winners and three wildcard teams ahead of them last year. So where did they fall on the, instead of, you know, Grichuk to Bregman scale, last wildcard to top seed in the AL? I don't know, but hopefully there's more to come.
Yeah, to me, like the whole are they better discussion, I like to think they're better. I like to think so. I think that the pitching depth gets them there, but they are very reliant on guys who haven't done it before, or guys who haven't done it in a while, to do things that they haven't done before or in a while. I like where they stand more so because I think everyone else has just gotten worse, or at least hasn't gotten better. But I mean, we can talk about the Bregman rumor of the day, because that really is, and we've talked about this for what seems like how long have we been talking about Alex Bregman on this show? Because we talked about Soto for a while, and then pitching.
Yeah, I jokingly said we've been talking about it for 17 years, but I don't think we've been talking about him for that long. It's just been a lot of Bregman discussion in the last, like, month or so. It's not like Crochet we talked about for months, multiple months. This has been, like, a really high peak of volume, how much we're talking about him, but it's only been, like, a month or so?
Yeah, I think Bregman was kind of introduced once Willy Adames signed, because then we were like, if you lose on Soto, what are the plan Bs kind of thing? And then since then, it's just kept kind of gradually been an uptick in the Bregman content. But,
you know, I think I remember.
Yeah, like a month.
Okay, I think I remember, because what happened was Soto signed on the eve of the winter meetings starting, and then Bradfo had the report of the Red Sox were going to make a legitimate push for Bregman on that, like, later that night. And then the next day, or no, it wasn't the next day. It was like a couple days later, Max Fried signed. And then the day after that, the Sox got Crochet.
That was a month ago on Monday, Red Sox getting Crochet.
And there you go. Once they got Crochet, I mean, yes, they've gotten Walker Buehler since then, but once they got Crochet, I like to think that the forefront of our minds was how are they gonna fill that offensive hole. So
yeah,
I mean, it's been a month. And if you're a lunatic like the three of us are about the Red Sox, a month of offseason talking about the same thing and you're not watching any games, it feels like an eternity. It feels like we've been talking about this forever. And I know that the Ken Rosenthal initial rumor or report thing or theory or whatever he wanted to call it, where he was like, yeah, Sox should sign Bregman and put Devers at first and trade Costas. Like, that was in September. So in theory, it's been on our minds for a while, but it really hasn't been on the forefront since they got Crochet. But let's dig into this whole Bregman rumor of the day, which, I mean, there's a chance you haven't even heard this, because this kind of just poked up on the timelines later in the evening as we record this. But Scott Boras and in regards to Alex Bregman, has had conversations, seeming like kind of casual conversations about Bregman with the Cubs, who are only interested in Bregman if they can get him on a shorter term deal, likely with opt-outs. So this is kind of a two-part topic here, because I do want to discuss the merits of signing that type of contract. But first, let's talk Cubs, because before it kind of seemed like, okay, it's the Reds, and like this was the Rosenthal report of a day or two ago, which was the Sox are assuming, or they're betting on Bregman's not going to sign with the Blue Jays, and the Tigers aren't going to pay up, so what are you going to do? Does the Cubs' potential involvement here make you nervous that the Red Sox game of chicken here might not work as well as they seem to think it will?
Yeah, how could it not? I mean, this is what we were afraid of. We were afraid of the quote-unquote mystery team jumping in and then screwing up this game of chicken, which is it's inherently risky to do this chicken thing because that mystery team can swoop in whenever they want. And we spoke about that. We also spoke about the Phillies moving Alec Boehm and then Dombrowski coming in and just giving him a godfather offer, but that's a bit different. The Cubs flirting with Bregman about a short-term offer, I'd prefer that for the Red Sox. I'd be willing, if I'm the Red Sox, I'm willing to give Bregman 5-6 years, whatever. Not ideal, but that's still great for the team. If you can get him for 3 or 4 years at a higher AAV, I think that's even better. The issue with that is, I think he would have signed already if that were an option, because he's still out there. The Tigers clearly want him. The Red Sox are being a little flirty, and the Blue Jays are.
They're Blue Jaysing.
I kind of feel bad for Blue Jays fans at this point. They're in on everyone and not getting anyone, like even more so than the Red Sox. So to answer your question after that long-winded response, yes, that makes me a little bit nervous. And the Cubs are a team that, they're not one of the biggest spenders, but they're not afraid to spend. Like, they could very well swoop in here and take Alex Bregman.
Pat, I want to get your take on if you feel threatened by the Cubs. But Sammy, first, I want to push back on, you said if that type of deal were available, it would already be done. I disagree with that, because these are the types of deals, like it's like the Boris Four from last year. Like those, Scott Boris does not want to sign those deals, and he's only going to sign those deals once he realizes, shit, I fucking have to do these deals because spring training's going to start soon. And like, man, my client's he's on my ass. He wants a team. He wants to go to spring training, and I don't have anything for him. And like, if you want to sign something right now, like this is what you got
to
do.
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm saying, is that like, if he were willing to take a deal like that, a short term deal, he would have already taken it. He's probably not willing. The only way he would take it is if it got pushed all the way to the end of the offseason.
Which it might.
If we get to like mid February, then I'm going to be sweating bullets on the Alex Bregman front, because that's the point where you could easily see a short-term deal happening. My thing that scares me the most is that the Cubs go like, okay, fine, we'll go 5 years. And he goes, that works. That's a good in-between for me. Let's do it.
I don't think they're going to do that. Based off of the reports coming out of Chicago this offseason, like that is an owner that doesn't want to spend. And then when he did spend, like, to at least in AAV to get Kyle Tucker, they had Ricketts made them trade Bellinger to get that done. Pat, mm-hmm. Cubs, do they scare you? Or does Scott Boras discussing the short term deal with the Cubs scare you?
No, like not even remotely. If the short term with opt outs is the contract that they're like dialoguing, no, because if that's on the table for the Chicago Cubs, that's on the table for a lot of teams, the Red Sox being one of them. And when it comes to outbidding the Ricketts, John Henry's a cheap bastard. Not the Ricketts family. He looks like Elon Musk compared to the Ricketts family. So, no, the report doesn't really scare me. But like Sammy said, if they go, you know what, 5 years. And again, I don't think that's going to happen. They've shown no indication of spending on multiple year deals in quite a while, since Dansby probably. It doesn't really scare me. But if that's, I actually think it's kind of encouraging, because if that's a deal that he's open to, I even like the Sox more in that circumstance.
Well, that's where I want to go next with this, is like the merits of a short-term deal with opt-outs. And I think teams love these because it obviously mitigates the risk. But the issue that I have with these, for a player like Bregman that has the qualifying offer attached, and I'll use an example like Blake Snell last year with the Giants. He signs that short-term deal, like it was like 3 years or something, and it had opt-outs every year. He pitches great in year the cut, or the Giants gave up a pick to get him. He pitches great in his first year with the Giants. The Giants don't trade him, and then he opts out. So the Giant, and then he leaves for the division rival. So the Giants paid a shit ton of money, and they gave up a draft pick to get 1 year of Blake Snell in a year in which they didn't make the playoffs. That to me is an all-out disaster, and that's to me is honestly maybe even worse than if you sign a 6-year deal and he's flamed out in year 3 or 4. Like that's terrifying to me. But the Bregman case, it's interesting because he's not young. So like if they do it and he plays well and he opts out entering his age 32 season, he's not going to get some crazy mega deal. And if the Red Sox want to keep him, presumably they could do it. And you know what? If you bring Bregman and he's going to be your team leader, like you've got to keep him at that point.
Yeah. And Gordo, to add on to that, aren't the Red Sox the perfect type of team to do a deal like that where they can take that risk of Bregman opting out? Because you have Christian Campbell, Marcelo Meyer coming up who play both, you know, infield spots. You can make it work somehow. On top of that, you got Rafaela, Hamilton, Grissom, other guys who can fill in. So, like, I don't know. If that were the Red Sox, I think that's preferred over a 6-7 year deal for Alex Bregman at his. You know, if Bregman were 27, I would feel a lot differently. But he's 31 on opening day. So, yeah, man, I don't know. I don't know. I wanted you guys to kind of, like, talk me out of being nervous. But, like, I don't know. I don't think the Cubs are as cheap as you guys say. And I just makes me nervous that this game of chicken is going to get busted up.
Well, with the Cubs, what you'd have to be worried, like, because I think the Red Sox as an organization, I don't know. They're in pretty similar spots. It feels like the Red Sox maybe want to compete a little bit more right now, but the Cubs have an awesome farm system. And as it stands, like as of the end of last season, they were in a better spot at the major league level than the Red Sox. So they are pretty close, and they can offer the Bregman the chance to play third, where the Red Sox presumably, at least in year one, couldn't.
So, yo, I swear to God, I had this conversation, I think yesterday or the day before, with my friends from Chicago about how the Red Sox and the Cubs are in similar positions, but like slightly different. It's true. They're both like good but not great major league teams, and then strong farm systems. So, God, this is making me more nervous about the friggin' Cubs. I don't want the Cubs to come in and mess up this whole thing we got going. I feel in my brain like Bregman's on the Red Sox, and I don't want to have to retrain my brain. I've been confident on this one. How long have I been saying? Weeks. I'm like, he's going to sign up the Red Sox. It's going to take a while. Just please, Cubs. Don't make me look dumb.
Someone asked me on Twitter, it was either today or yesterday, and it was like, when do you think Bregman's going to sign, and who do you think he's going to sign with? And for the who do I think he's going to sign with, I said, like, I guess I would put the Red Sox ahead of all of the other teams, I suppose. But if it's Red Sox versus the field, I overwhelmingly take the field.
Right, yeah, Red Sox, the most likely individual team, but you would take the field over them still. Right. Yeah, that makes sense. That's kind of where I'm at, too. But you know, that doesn't make for good podcasting to say, I will take the field. I'm Pat, taking the Red Sox. I mean it though.
Pat, would you like, does the prospect, if Bregman was willing to take a short-term deal with opt-outs, does that excite you? Like do you prefer that over signing him to, we'll say, a 5 or a 7 year deal?
For the Red Sox, yes. Like, that is something, because that's kind of perfect, right? Because let's say he signs a 3-year deal and opt out after 1 and 2. In that time frame, you kind of see what you have in Christian Campbell, Marcelo, and Roman. If you need them, you just re-sign them. If you're at a point where the major league level is flourished and, you know, the bats are no question, you're good to go. Stoyanov and all these guys are taking steps forward as leaders. Perfect. You don't really need Bregman. The flip side of that, if he truly is open to kind of that short term, you know, high AAV deal with opt outs, he's 100% going to be, you know, a Met, a Philly. Like, the Sox are going to lose ground at that point. And I don't think they land him if that's something that's going to happen.
It's a good point, Pat. And like, this is, and Sammy was just alluding to this earlier in the show, but that is the risk you take by playing the whole waiting game. And we talked about this a couple of weeks ago with why it's different than the JD Martinez waiting game, because with the JD Martinez waiting game, that guy was a DH, and at the time only half the league had DHs or had DH slots. And of course, out of those teams, like, what, probably at least half of them had guys that needed to DH in those slots, maybe probably even more. The difference with Bregman is this is a guy that is versatile enough where if you want the guy, you can fit him on your team. And yeah, Pat, I agree with you. I think you see it here with the Cubs. If that contract option, the short-term deal with opt-outs is available, yeah, like, plenty of other teams are going to jump into the race. Like, now you're going to have to prove that you're a more enticing destination, or you can offer more money, or you can offer a more enticing contract structure than those teams. Right now, like, if you want to give him the structure of the deal that he wants, like, presumably he's yours. Let me ask you guys a question here. Rank the three options in terms of what you'd like the most. Sign Bregman on a 5-year deal. Sign Bregman on a 3-year deal with opt-outs both the years, or don't sign Bregman at all.
Was the 3-year one? 3-year is that there's an opt-out which year?
After each of the first 2 years. So every year.
Okay. I'd go short term because I think that makes the Red Sox a really good team in 2025. And I think it removes the risk of a logjam, which, you know, I'm not too worried about it, but like, if you can get Bregman for 2 seasons, I would love that. I think that would be perfect, but I don't think that's realistic for the Red Sox. But if I could choose, I would say short term.
Well, the issue with the 2 seasons thing is that for it to be 2 seasons, he has to be bad in year one.
Or not up to his standard. Yeah. Well, what's the...
Because, yeah, 2 years, you're right. 2 years is the best case scenario.
Yeah, 2 years is the best. But yeah, if there's an opt-out after the second season, I feel like that's even better. But I don't know if he would.
I don't think
that.
He's doing that.
What if you jack up the AAV, make it much higher for those two seasons?
Like, what if you went like 40 mil and then 40 mil and then...
That's what I'm saying.
Like, that's what you'd have to do.
I was gonna say 35. That's pretty high. Pat, you're muted.
3 for 105 is like a high AAV realistic 3-year deal. 3 for 40 is banana land. That is
okay, Pat. Let's get your ranking here. Would you rather rank it in order of preference, what you like most first? 5-year deal, and we'll say like 5 years, 150 mil. 3-year deal at 3 years, 100 mil, but there's opt-outs after every year of the deal, or don't sign the player at all. Rank them.
I'm going 5 years, short term, don't sign at all. I think 5 years, so this upcoming year will be his age 31 season, correct? So you get 31, 2, 3, 4, 5. 35, like, we've seen guys play a pretty decent second base at 35. Like Kipnis and Dozier and Utley. Like, there have been guys who he kind of fits that mold where he'll age kind of gracefully at the position. And then on top of that, he's like a veteran leader who's going to kind of age these young guys into their primes. Like, 5 years from now, Roman, Campbell, Meyer, Devers more in his prime, Casas more in his prime, Duran, who knows, but like, there's like an usher there to get them to their primes. I think that's a perfect window is 5 years.
And not to mention, when that deal comes off the books is when you're going to need to start paying these guys. And like, even if you extend them early on, that's when they're like, I get that the in terms of the luxury tax purposes, like, it's going to be equal every year. But the way these extensions work, and like, if you want a baseline to look at it, go look at Cedan Rafaela's. He's making, and Brian Baez too, they're making peanuts this year, next year. But by the end of these deals, like, they're making 12, 13, 15, 18, whatever, million dollars. So by the time that those kids that are about to come up now are making money, presumably Bregman's deal comes off the books, which is why, to me, my order of preference is to just give him the longer term deal and don't have the risk of giving a pick and a shit ton of money and jumping over the luxury tax just to lose Alex Bregman after he balls out and then he goes to another team when you need that guy on the roster. Like, we saw what it was like when they lost Xander Bogaerts, their leader. We saw what it was like when they then lost Justin Turner, their leader. There was a void of leadership. And I don't think it would be good to have Alex Bregman come to this team. And especially, you know, obviously if Trevor Story were to opt out, I don't think anyone would be complaining with how that contract has gone. But in terms of leadership, if both no he way. And Bregman have the opportunity to opt out and do, like, man, you really, I mean, I obviously you could re-sign him, but
I don't think there's any shot. I don't think there's any shot Story opts out. He would be 34 years old at the time of his opt out, 33 or 34. Like, I don't know.
I'd have to look at it, but I think there's more of a chance than you think. Like, if he has the year that he had this past year, which offensively was not good, if he stayed healthy for the whole year and put up those numbers that he did stretched out for a full season, he probably puts up enough war in that year where he would probably have opted out. Now, granted, him staying healthy is a huge if, but
that's what I was going to say. It's a huge if he stays healthy. And then we're talking about, like, 3 years down the road from now, like, how's he gonna look? I don't know. But here I was gonna say, you know what would be the perfect contract, perfect contract for Bregman? 4 years, $125 million. So he's getting his high AAV, but it's not insane. It's about 31 and a quarter, and you get not a short-term deal but not a long-term deal. The problem is he'd hit the open market again at age 35, so I don't know if I don't know if he would love that, but that's not the worst thing ever. That's my sweet spot right there. 4, $125 million.
That's the issue here. Is I feel like that deal, you said it, that you don't know if he would want to do it. I that's where I stand there, because I feel like if you're Bregman, you want a deal that's going to take, like, if you're going that far, go as far as you can. And if you're not going, like, if I'm Bregman, I would rather have the 3-year deal with opt-outs than a straight 4-year deal. And there would certainly be teams willing to give him that 3-year deal with opt out. So I don't think there would, unless you gave him, like, maybe even more money, like, if it was like 4 years, like 160, like, he would do that.
I think it depends where he plays too, because he's not going to want the opt outs if he's playing in Detroit, because he has to know his numbers are going to plummet. If he's on the Cubs playing in Wrigley Field, which is kind of similar to Fenway, hitter's ballpark, I'm sure he would like the opt outs, because then he's thinking, okay, I can, you know, hit the open market again and make even more money once I activate this opt out. But Tigers, what did I say? He's going to hit 262 with 12 home runs if he goes to the Tigers. That would be a disaster. He's not going to want opt outs. He's going to want to be locked in long term.
That's a great point, Sammy. That's a great point you're making right there. The short term deal with opt outs makes zilch sense with the Tigers.
Yeah. I mean, Toronto, kind of hard to say. Is that what's their ballpark factor? Is that a neutral? I'm going to look this up.
I know his stats in Toronto are not good. Like, like, if you compare his stats at Fenway, Toronto, and Detroit, like, Fenway Park is, like, one of his best ballparks, and the other, Detroit especially, not good. What do you find ballpark factor?
15th, so right in the middle.
Right in the middle. Philadelphia, though, if Philadelphia jumps in, that's scary, though. That ballpark is perfect for him.
Yeah,
nothing
they're 11.
Is more perfect than Houston, though.
I don't know, man. I feel like Fenway might even be better. He'd hit less home runs, but I think he'd get more hits. Just the monster, because the Crawford boxes are small in width, so, like, he can hit the ball into the Crawford boxes. But he's probably flying out a lot to left. Whereas at Fenway, he'd be peppering that monster, and he'd have that massive right field to deposit a million singles. Oh my God, just sign this guy.
Yeah.
Oh, such a clutch offseason pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 45% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 45% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Marketers, are you ready to make an impact with audio advertising? People are hungry for authentic connections in a world buzzing all around us. How do you cut through the noise and truly reach your audience? Visit stateofaudio.com to see Odyssey State of Audio, the Trends Report. Uncover the secrets to high-impact creative. Learn how AI is revolutionizing the industry and get ahead of the curve on measurement and audience trends. Don't just stay in the game. Win it. Visit stateofaudio.com and download your free copy.
Well, let's talk about we kind of almost got into it before when we were talking about when it comes time to pay the kids, and when it comes time, or if you extend them when that money kicks in. But
Passionate about this. I like it. You're very passionate about this topic, Gordo.
About paying the kids? Yeah, I am. Yeah. I am, because
I'm with you.
You go back to the Mookie Betts early seasons, to the Xander Bogaerts early seasons, like, if they found ways to lock those guys up, and like, they were talking to those guys. There was just gaps, and the team wasn't willing to bridge those gaps. And you as a fan, don't like the last, what, 3, 4, 5 years that the Red Sox have played? You have them not locking up Mookie Betts as a youngster, them not locking up Xander to thank for these things. Like, that's why I'm so passionate about it. And there was a report over the weekend from Alex Speer that they're going to approach the big three, Roman Anthony, Christian Campbell, Marcelo Meyer, about these extensions. And it's fascinating because they haven't played a game. And a lot of people don't think that they should be paid before they play a game. I'm curious where you guys stand on this, because Sammy, you and I have given it away. I would pay them all. I think if you pay them all today, if just one of them hits and hits it big, if you pay them all today, you're paying less total money than you'd be paying for that guy if you wait for him to hit it big and then pay him when he becomes a free agent.
I think it's a very, very uneducated response to say they got to prove it first. You have to pay these guys based on what you think they're going to do. You're not paying them for what they've done. I heard that from a GM years ago, and it stuck with me. I can't remember which GM it was. It was an MLB Network interview, and I was like, that's a great point. So you're not paying Roman Anthony because he did well in AAA. You're paying Roman Anthony because you think he's going to be a great Major League Baseball player. So get him locked up early. It's the same concept with Garrett Crochet, slightly different. You're paying him a lot because you think he's going to be a horse for years. You can't let him pitch even half a season for the Red Sox, do really well, then the price doubles. It's going to get way higher. You have to have good foresight. That's why being a GM is incredibly hard. And people, it's not as simple as pay the good player. You have to know what's coming, or at least think you know what's coming. So yeah, Gordo, I'm with you. Pay the young guys. I would give Roman Anthony an extension yesterday. Garrett Crochet, even more pressing right now. You have to get that guy extended before the season starts, before spring training starts. Just do it yesterday. So yeah, get the young guys extended. Don't dilly-dally. Don't risk their price going up higher. Do what you did with Bayo and Rafaela. It saves you money in the present and probably in the future as well. So do it. I'm with you.
Pat, would you give Roman Anthony, and we can talk about the other ones too, but the number I have in my head is the Jackson Churio extension, which was 82 mil over 8 years. Let's jump it up a little bit, because you're going to have to top it. That's how this stuff works. It's one guy gets one deal, the next guy gets to top it. Would you give Roman Anthony $90 million before he even plays a game?
Comfortably. Like, pretty comfortably. And then here's my thing, right? The Royals could have locked up Bobby Witt for real, not cheap, but much less than they did had they done it before or directly following his rookie year. His rookie year, he hit like 254, like showed like good promise. They waited until after the second year when he had this kind of legit breakout, was a 30 home run guy, was, I don't know if he was an all-star second year. And then you pay like a bunch more for him. There are some guys that you just know. You know how good they're going to be. Roman is one of those guys. Every level through the minors, he has done nothing but impress. Power numbers, on base, strikeouts, walk, defense, everything across the board. He checks every box of a guy that you say, I am comfortable giving this kid $100 million because I am that confident he's going to be good. Now, Marcelo, love Marcelo, think he's going to be great. Injury concerns, whatever, I get it. That's a guy I'm okay waiting a year on. Campbell, could it be like just an incredibly hot streak and maybe he kind of, you know, water finds his level? Sure, I would still pay him, but sure, there's definitely some prove it there. Roman was a stud in high school, stud in rookie ball, stud in single A, double A, triple A. Every level he has done everything you want to see. That is the exact type of guy that is a perfect candidate for an extension before he plays a game.
Good points, Pat, on the other players you mentioned. I didn't even consider that. Question for you guys. Two questions, actually. What is the worst case scenario if the Red Sox extend Roman Anthony for, let's say, 8 years, $90 million, a little bit more than Churio? What is the worst case scenario if that happens?
Who was the, what's his
Kingery.
Name? Yeah, Kingery. That's exactly what I was trying to think of. Scott Kingery, that's the worst case scenario.
Yeah. Phillies were totally fine after that because ultimately in the game of Major League Baseball, that is pennies over a long term. So that's another thing to consider. The risk is like, it's a risk, but it's not like, you're not signing Alex Bregman for a $200 million deal type risk as he's 31 years old. That's a big risk. This, much smaller in my opinion. Second question, what is the worst case scenario if the Red Sox don't extend Roman Anthony before he gets to that major league solidified player category?
Mookie Betts.
Okay, so which worst case scenario sounds worse? I think it's pretty obvious. The Mookie Betts one. You don't want your star player walking out. I'd rather take the risk and have the guy be, you know, he's Scott Kingery. He's not very good. Whatever. They wasted 11 AAV a year. That sucks. Whatever. Move on. Rather than, oh my God, Roman Anthony's a top five player in Major League Baseball. And now he's leaving and he's going to the Dodgers. That is a knife to the heart compared to a slap on the wrist. So just stuff to consider.
And then the middle ground of those, you can look at Rafael Devers. I should have given this example when I first brought the topic up. When you have a guy like Devers, like, yeah, he didn't get away, but this is a guy where the Red Sox were talking about extensions at like a third of the value that he ended up getting. And they just weren't willing to bridge that gap. And it cost them multiple hundreds of millions of dollars, which, like, I'm thrilled that Devers gets to stay here and that we get to keep watching him play. I'm also thrilled that Rafi got paid. Super happy for him, happy for his family. But for the Red Sox as a team, as a business, as an organization, yeah, it's smarter to get that guy locked up in 2019, even in 2018 before the breakout happens. Like, man, with Roman Anthony here, like, he is 20 years old. You could give that guy a 10-year deal, and that's going to allow him to hit the market again at age 30. Like, you can give him generational wealth for the rest of his life, and he doesn't have to prove a thing to get it, and he'll get to do it again. It's not even like he gives up his earning potential. The key
here, he'll get another shot. Yeah.
Yeah.
And Gordo, by the way, you mentioned sounding smart. A lot of people gave the Brewers crap when they did this extension to Churio before playing a Major League Baseball game. Now they got him for dirt cheap. His rookie season, he puts up a 3.8 WAR year, the B WAR, if you're into that.
And 21 he sucked home for two runs. Months.
What'd you say?
And he sucked for the first 2 months. Like, that, this is all coming. Like, he was incredible.
Right. He had a bad start. And remember, everyone's ripping the Brewers to shreds. The guy puts up a 3.8 BWAR season. He's a 2020 guy, 21 home runs, 22 stolen bases, 791 OPS, and a 117 OPS plus. That is as a 20-year-old rookie. Jackson Chourio put up those numbers. So now the Brewers don't look so dumb. They look like geniuses. They got this kid locked up for dirt cheap for the foreseeable future because they took a risk. And you know what? If he stunk, they'd probably be fine too. So I think it's a no-brainer that you got to extend Roman Anthony. I'm just talking about Roman Anthony. Like Pat mentioned, Marcelo Meyer, different conversation. Christian Campbell, a year ago, I would bet half the people listening to this podcast had no clue who Christian Campbell was. He wasn't.
More than half.
Yeah, he was not a top prospect. And, you know, I don't blame anyone for not knowing who he was. He burst onto the scene. He was the, what is it, Baseball America, like minor league player of the year. Just an incredible season. So those two, you know, less aggressive. Roman Anthony is the number one prospect in the world. You should extend that guy at Red Sox.
Yeah, and I think the key here, and I want to go back to Chourio for a second, because I know a couple people who worked for the Brewers and worked directly with Chourio. And when they signed that extension, they said, yeah, there's no risk here because this is a kid who just likes to show up and play baseball. He doesn't care about anything else. Like, he's just a baseball player. Like, the money is not going to change him. And that's the key. You have to identify with your guys, especially if you're extending them at this age, like even more so than when you're signing them as free agents later or even to extensions when they've already played in the majors. Like, if you're signing guys to extensions that haven't played games yet, you have to know that the money is not going to change the person, change the motivation, change the approach, change the work ethic. Like, and that's up to the team. That's up to the people who've worked directly with this, with these guys for a year, 2 years, 3 years to know. Like, that's not something that anyone in the media is going to know. That's not something that anyone on other teams and other organizations is going to know. That's going to only be something that people who've worked directly with these guys in the minor league levels is going to know. And I hope that these three guys, all like Roman, Marcelo, Campbell, like, they are all great dudes. They've been really nice to us. They seem like great human beings. And I don't, on the surface, from what I know, I don't think that deals like this would change any of them. But that's up to the Red Sox to figure out. That's up to them to know. And it's the most important thing when talking about extensions at this stage.
Yeah, I don't think it would change them either. You got to consider these are like 20-year-old kids. They've been playing baseball their entire life. So to stop caring about it all of a sudden would be a massive departure from what they've been doing their entire life. So also, by the way, you want to get motivated, get paid, and then play poorly in the city of Boston. The fans and media will motivate you very, very quickly and efficiently and aggressively. So yeah, I don't worry about the motivation aspect of this whatsoever.
Pat, do you have the DM ready? We got to get to the listener DM of the week before we get to Nuff Said and get on out of here.
I do. And I actually love this question because I think this is super intriguing. Currently writing this DM after making this account after one of Chris Cotillo's workshops. Shout out, Cotillo.
Wait, really?
Yes.
That's awesome. Go, Cotillo.
Let's go.
I just made the account. My question is, can Cedan Rafaela become the Michael Jordan of Eduardo Nunez's?
No. Okay. I want to back this up.
Like the best utility player ever?
Yeah, that's what he said.
The way that was framed, that's so... Dude, Cotillo's class works. That was framed beautifully. This is a perfect advertisement for Cotillo's course. That the Michael Jordan of Eduardo Nunez's. Chef's kiss. Beautiful. Sure, by the way. Yeah, that's my answer.
I would love it if he could become the anything of Eduardo Nunez's, because that means the Red Sox made moves and pushed Duran to center field and made Cedan Rafaela earn his at-bats in the utility spot, which is what I think should happen. He could be great at it because he could play multiple defensive positions really well, especially center field. Michael Jordan, I don't know, because I think the Michael Jordan of utility players might need to hit a little bit more than I think Cedan will. but he could be a really good utility player. That's the role I would like to see him in until
who's the current Michael Jordan of utility baseball player? Oh, I know. This is easy. I have the answer. Never mind. You guys got him?
No.
Ben Zobrist by far.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. Definitely.
Yeah. That was like an all-star.
A guy who I think Sedan, like his maximum value as like a utility guy. Remember how good, and this is going to sound crazy, but this is a compliment. Remember how good Chris Taylor was in his prime?
Oh, yeah.
Like, he got paid.
Dude, like that, it could be Sedan, and that is a perfect role for Sedan. Little second, little infield, corner, center, whatever. That's perfect for Sedan Rafaela.
He was sick to have in Chris Taylor was really sick to have in fantasy baseball because you play him at any position pretty much and just fit him into your lineup if you guys had days off. But yeah, man, sorry, let me change my answer then. No, I don't think Sedan could be like Ben Zobrist. Ben Zobrist was legit like Hall of Very Good kind of player as a utility
World Series MVP.
Yep,
World Series. That's the question: is do you think Sedan has a World Series MVP up his sleeve? I don't know, man. That's not too many guys win that.
Steve Pierce won one of those. I don't know if that's far, but yeah, I get what you're saying. You got to be clutch as well. Zobrist also a switch hitter, which is cool. I don't know. That's a tough task.
All right, let's get to some Nuff Said before we get on out of here. Anyone want to go first? Sammy, you got one?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't want to use this guy's name because we don't do bullying on this show, but I'm sure you guys saw a Red Sox Twitter user commented on a Tyler Milliken post about how Alex Cora comped Roman Anthony to JD Drew, but with more energy. And he said, if our head coach says he sees JD Drew in Roman Anthony, then our future is cooked. Our foundational pillar going forward cannot be JD Drew type. Bad take. I think people don't realize how good JD Drew was over his career. And this tweet kind of spawned a ton of JD Drew love. So I keep seeing JD Drew highlights posted, his stats, everything like that. And just goes to show like the reputation a guy has when he plays in Boston means so much to Red Sox fans. This is a guy who averaged over his career 25 home runs, an 873 OPS and a 125 OPS plus while running fairly well, not a base stealer, but he could move on the bases and playing good corner outfield defense with a little bit of center field as well. That's a really, really good player. So, shout out to JD Drew, underrated king. Maybe didn't reach his full expectations in Boston, but he had his signature moment in the ALCS 2007, and he played well enough. So glad to see he's getting some love after a pretty bad take.
Yeah, show some love to the 08 All-Star Game MVP.
Yeah,
he's loving all the All-Star MVPs. 12th inning or something like that.
Yeah.
I was shocked, Sammy, when I saw the tweet. I pulled up JD Drew's baseball reference. Was absolutely floored to learn that he had five seasons of a 900 or better OPS. Like, he was legitimate. Yeah. If Roman Anthony did that, we would be dancing in the streets. Like, we would be winning World Series, man. Like,
I'm pretty sure he was the number one prospect in baseball at one point or close to it.
Dude, he was a Golden Spikes winner, like generational prospect. Like, he would be the guy coming out of college. Yeah, he was the number one prospect in baseball.
Not to mention, he played 13 full seasons in Major League Baseball, too. So he stuck around for a while as well. Like, just a tremendously underrated player. And in Boston, 606 games, and people aren't going to love. He had 264, 824 OPS, though.
If he's that hyped up, can anyone tell me where he was drafted? What number?
Second overall.
Fifth overall. Why which team? Anyone want a bonus point?
Cardinals.
The team?
Cardinals.
There you go. There you
okay. Go. Yeah. That one we got it. But yeah, that's my enough said. Shout out JD Drew, underrated king.
I will not shout out his brother. Pat, do you have enough said?
Yeah. This was posted 2 hours ago. Did you guys see MLB.com's top 10 pitchers for next year?
Yeah. Dude, didn't they have DeGrom sixth?
No, I think that was that the fans. They had Tarek Skubal second, though.
This is different.
Oh, let me see then. I'll react live to it.
Okay. You know what? I'm not even going to tease anything. We'll go reverse order because it gets progressively worse. Okay. Number one, Zach Wheeler. Number two, Tarek Skubal. Number three, Chris Sale. So far, understand it. Paul Skeens, number four. Totally get it. Number five, Blake Snell. Number six, Corbin Burns. Here's where it gets ugly. Number seven, Cole Reagans. Number eight, Garrett Cole. Number nine, Logan Webb. Number 10, Framber Valdez.
Oh, bro. Okay. All right. Hold on. Okay. So Wheeler number one is a little weird. I would swap him and Skubal.
It has to be Skubal.
But whatever. Chris Sale. Okay. It also depends. What are you rating this off of? The season they just had, or who is top 10 going into 2025? Because if you're saying who is top 10 going into 2025, this is Chris Sale's first fully healthy season in how long? Since 2018 or 19? So I can't put him number three. He was amazing last year, and we love Chris Sale, but like, I don't know about that. That's a bit much. Wait, Joe, can you pull it back up? I'm enjoying this. This is
I feel like my biggest gripe with the list is that Skubal is not number one. And my second biggest gripe is that Framber Valdez is number 10 because I think there are better pitchers that you could put on there. Again, yeah, I guess I don't really know what if this is like if it's based off of like career and last year, I would understand why a guy like Crochet wouldn't be on there. But like if you're projecting for next year, Garrett Crochet has to be in the top 10. But outside of that, I don't know how much I hate. Maybe Garrett Cole shouldn't be on
Skeens,
there.
Skeens at four is a lot. I know he's unbelievable, but like, you know, how many times have we seen a guy take a step back? Like Steven Strasburg was Paul Skeens, and he took a step back. I don't know.
Okay. The list at face value, I can understand, you know, maybe not thinking it's bad. Until you think of the guys who are not on this list.
Good point.
Hero Mariners on this list. There is no Seth Lugo on this list. I would Dylan Cease over Framber Valdez. I would Yoshinobu Yamamoto, Tyler Glasnow. Like
Garrett Crochet. I think Garrett Crochet is easily going to have a better season than Framber Valdez in 2025.
Yeah, yeah. But there's like five or six guys that should be on this list over 8, 9, 10 pretty comfortably.
I think I agree with you there, Pat. More so with 10 at least. I think Sale might be a little bit too high, but
yeah. Let's see. All right. What about Reagans? Do you think Reagans? I love Reagans. I don't love it, but I would put him closer to like 10. Yeah, I don't know. Whatever. We're nitpicking here. Reagans is awesome.
All right. I guess one enough said and one thought. The enough said is on this whole Xfinity thing where they're making people pay more to watch Red Sox, Bruins, and Celtics games, which sucks because they're making people pay more, and I feel really bad that they're making people pay more, but it might suck for me because I went in today fully expecting to have to pay more, and I didn't, which means I've been paying far too much for my cable for way too long.
Yeah. So, same thing with me. The guy, I asked the guy, I was all pissed. I'm like, hey, man, I'm losing X, Y, and Z. And he's like, no, you're not. And then I was kind of like, oh, good. Wait, what? Have I been getting robbed? So,
yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. I think might get a discount, though, because I do Xfinity internet as well.
Yeah.
So I think that's why I'm not getting completely destroyed. But still, yes. I saw a friend of the program, Joey Capone, post that today, that he like lost Nesson and NBC Sports Boston too, so no Celtics. That's so, that makes me mad.
Yeah, don't love it. And it's a lot more per month too. I think like for a lot of people, it's an increase of $20 a month. Like
20.
Yeah, it's bad.
That's a lot.
Joe's cutting the cable.
I've been using Fubo for a couple of years now. I split it with my sister and her fiance, and it's like 30 something a month. The only issue is you don't get the Turner channel. So like when it's March Madness, you don't get the TNT, the CBS, those kind of channels.
What would you do in the Celtics playoffs? Like Celtics playoff on TNT. What do you do for that, Joe?
You hope and pray that you can bootleg it.
Yeah, dude, I hate that. I hate how it's like a friggin' scavenger hunt to find the games if you don't have cable. That's why, like, 2023 playoffs for baseball, I just said, fuck it, I'll buy cable. I don't care.
Yeah, it's the same for me. Like, I cannot stand. And it's not even just the scavenger hunt, it's the uncertainty going into it. Like, if the Red Sox have a playoff game on that night, I will not be able to function that day, not knowing until the last second if I'm going to be able to watch the playoff game. Like,
oh my God, I've never related to something you've said more than the anxiety that you have all day, not knowing if you're going to get the game. It affects my mood. I don't even want to say this out loud because it's embarrassing.
No, it's true.
Affects my mood all day if I'm like, all right, am I going to have a pen? And then you check early and you're like, okay, it looks like I get the game, but I'm not 100% sure. And then you go back on game time and it's like, actually, for your package, you have to watch it on Dickhead TV because you don't have. Oh, so yeah, anyway, that's why I got cable.
And my final thought, and you guys, if you have anything else to say, say it now, because no one's allowed to speak after this final thought. So if you have anything else, this is it. Speak now for a hold your peace.
It's boring. The offseason stinks.
Yeah, the offseason stinks. But you know who doesn't stink? Anthony, the Red Sox fan. We need to give him a shout out on this podcast because as we're recording, once again, this guy just comes through in the clutch every single day, shouting us out. We get shout outs multiple times a day from this guy calling us. In this case, he called us Bussin' Smart, Amazing, Nice Kings. All of us. The three of us, Joe got the shout out. Bradfo got the shout out. Hogdale's on this list. Ed Hand's on it. Like Emerson Lotzi is on it. Robbie Hyde's on it. Like he's just.
You know what's great? We don't know Anthony the Bussin King personally, but we all love the Bussin stuff that he does. He just brings joy to the internet community. He just calls everyone Bussin. So shout out Anthony. You're the king, the Bussin King.
He's the Bussin
along king. With Tristan Casas, who he declared the Bussin King of the Red Sox. So there's two. It's Anthony and Tristan Casas, the Bussin Kings. Big shouts.
And if I'm not mistaken, so he didn't send us a DM, but when we asked for the listener DM of the week, I'm pulling it up right now just to make sure. He commented on it, Bussin play Tessie. So this guy's absolutely the Bussin King. So shout out to Anthony, the Red Sox fan, and thank you all for tuning in to this edition of Play Tessie. Before we get out of here, remember, subscribe, hit the subscribe button wherever you get your podcast. 5 stars rating. We really appreciate it. Leave a comment. Find us on YouTube. We're on the WEI channel where you can subscribe there. Find the Play Tessie playlist and hit the thumbs up on all of our videos there. As always, you can find us on the social accounts at Play Tessie on both Twitter and Instagram. For Sammy, for Pat, for Joe producing, it is Gordo here. For Play Tessie episode 170. Thanks for tuning into this one. Peace.